This is WILO Frankfort.
Thank you for making Clinton County Daily News your number one resource for the news you need in Clinton County. Now available is Party Line On Demand. Just click the On Air tab. Also now available is Help Wanted, where you can find a job or, if you're a business, find out how to advertise the jobs you already have available. Also, while you're there, let us know your opinion by answering the poll question of the week. And make sure you check the real-time weather radar. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your local free online newspaper.
Want to make your yard the wow yard of the neighborhood? Then call Jeff Hardesty and let him create a landscape masterpiece for you. His crews are accredited or certified in the landscaping industry. Not just a bunch of guys with a truck and a shovel. Real landscapers, you know what I mean. For quality installation, innovative experience and design, it's always Hardesty Landscaping. Don't hire another landscaper until you talk to Jeff. Call him at 242-6015. That's 242-6015.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, is Ivy Tech seriously the top choice of Indiana's high school seniors? We seriously are. And the top choice of Indiana's adult students, thanks to such reasons as our experienced instructors, our state-of-the-art facilities, our more than 150 program options, and a tuition that's still under $4,000 a year. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
And welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Jennifer Payne, Shelter Insurance, Kramer Lumber, DeWitt Center, Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Ivy Tech Community College, and all ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our in-studio guest is Kathy Martin from the Healthy Communities of Clinton County Coalition. Kathy, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. We're doing pretty well.
Kind of a busy weekend for you, wasn't it?
It was quite the busy weekend.
For the first event for your Stepping on Stigma mental health event, you got to be thrilled with the number of people you had out there.
Absolutely. When we first were planning this event, we were thinking if we have 50 people come to a 5K, that'll be a success. And we had over 300 people at our event on Saturday. So that was huge for us.
Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that that was possible?
No, we actually made bets in the office that if we hit 100 people, then we'd take all the girls out to lunch. And, you know, we had all of these steps. We never imagined 300.
So how would you? I'm sure you got to rate it as successful. What were the things that you took away from that? That you're going to take, and maybe I'm assuming you're going to do another event at some point in time.
Yes, the plan is to make this an annual event for the 5K each year. So it was something that was a learning experience. I think it was a huge success for our first year, but we learned some things as well, things we can improve, things we can add. We've talked about doing a kid event next year, doing like a 100-yard dash for the kids along with the 5K. The Clinton County Fair Council was great to us, letting us have that over at the fairgrounds, and it was a great place to have the event, so we're very grateful for them.
Do you hope to have it back there again next year?
That's the plan. I mean, that's our thoughts, do that again. It was very nice to have it out on the horse track because we had a 74-year-old and a 78-year-old do the 5K this year because they could do a lap or two and then end, or they could keep going if they wanted. So this was great to have anybody be able to do this 5K and participate in it.
Now, did you have a lot of walkers to go along with this or not?
We had a lot of walkers. We actually had about double the walkers that we did the runners this year. And it wasn't timed. We just did this at your own pace, do as many laps or as few as you would like. So I'm sure that played into that we got more walkers versus runners for this first year.
And I also saw some wheelchairs and things of that nature. So I assume that group was also partially represented as well.
They were. We had some people in wheelchairs. We had two of them. We also had a lot of strollers, kids coming around, my kids included. So now, of course, my kid was the one going backwards around the track. So you could do whatever you wanted at the 5K.
Why was he going around the track backwards?
Who knows?
Okay. You and I were talking before we started this. There's going to be another Stepping on Stigma event coming up here soon, but it's not necessarily yours, but there is going to be another one coming up.
Yeah, another one for mental health awareness, the Bryson Haynes Memorial Foundation. They are doing a dirt drag over in Colfax, and that's going to be June 9th. And so we know that to bring mental health awareness to our area, we're going to have to do a lot of different events. And so this is going to reach a lot of different people than the 5K did. So we will be there as part of that event. We're getting some giveaways and stuff for them as well. But we just really want to promote that event as well.
How many mental health events do you think you guys are going to need to do to get the word out that you want to do?
You know, I think it's going to be a lot here at the beginning that, you know, mental health is the same thing as heart disease and other things. It's something that you live with, and it takes medication, it takes time, and this isn't something that we need to stigmatize, and we got to get rid of that. So having these big events these first few years, I think that's going to be really beneficial to mental health in general, and then making them an annual event.
Well, and then also people don't view mental health as a big issue. They just say, right. Oh, you know, somebody's a little off their rocker or whatever, which is something we shouldn't say, I know.
Right.
But I'm just, you know, but most people just don't view it as a problem. And I'm just trying to figure out, why don't they view it that way?
Yeah, I think what's happened is we've just kind of shoved mental health off to the side, that, you know, people can deal with it on your own and you just need to get over it. And that's not always the case. And I think what's happened is it's really affecting our kids. It's coming down in the schools and it's affecting our young people. And that's when we've started to really take notice that, hey, this is something we need to bring attention to.
You've always been a proponent of the tobacco and cessation type stuff. Where are you guys at with that, and what's the next big thing for you guys coming up on that?
Yeah, we're working with the mayor and Travis Sheets at the Parks Department, and we're looking to do some smoke-free parks to keep our kids safe from secondhand smoke. Now, that's not saying there won't be an area where you can smoke at the parks, but it would be more of a designated area, making sure that the playgrounds and the play areas are smoke-free, making sure that those shelters are smoke-free to protect our kids and, you know, the other people from secondhand smoke.
Were you surprised at the amount of cigarette butts that you guys picked up? When I saw that one or two pictures that you sent over here, that I almost was amazed at the amount of cigarette butts that you just picked up from those little areas around the playgrounds, as you said, in those kind of areas. What does that tell you, though?
Yeah, well, we did that same pickup last year, and we got just as many this year, if not more. So that tells us a big thing, that even in 1 year, how much smoking has been happening and how much disposal of cigarette butts have been thrown on the ground. It can take 25 years or more for those to decompose. So not only is this a health issue from secondhand smoke standpoint, but this is also, you know, a natural type of problem, an environmental type of problem that we have to deal with.
Why do you think that parents or guardians, for that matter, or friends, whatever, think it's okay to smoke around their kids?
You know, a lot of times people know that smoking is bad, you know, that they want to quit, but it's something that's hard to do. It's not something that you can just say, I'm done one day and, you know, that's it. For a lot of people, it takes some effort. And so they don't think about it. This is, you know, their body, their decision. And sometimes they're just not thinking outside of that.
Well, also, but we all know that second and third hand smoke, you know, is a major problem for everybody, especially kids.
Oh, yeah, especially kids. For kids 5 and under, if you're smoking in the car with them, even if the windows are down, it's as if that child is smoking a cigarette themselves. That's how much of secondhand smoke that they can get from that.
How do you get people to convince them, or how do you convince people, I guess, that it is bad and it's time to quit doing that and move on to something else?
A lot of people know that it's bad, and I think it's just taking the step of, okay, listen, we know it's hard, and we're here to help you quit if that's what you want to do, but if you don't, that's okay, but let's protect our kids in the process.
And it's amazing to me, you know, if they say they really care about their kids, why don't they just take the next step? I've never figured that one out.
Yep. I think it's just that addiction. That's really hard for people. The tobacco addiction is actually in the same part of the brain as a heroin addiction. So it's a true addiction, and we do know that.
I think, I don't know if Laura told me the last time she was in here or not, but, you know, I think I got up in the from your speaker at your event, mm-hmm. who said 20% of nicotine users are also been known as 80% of the opioid abusers.
Yes.
And that's a stat nobody, I don't think, really understands or takes to heart very much.
Right. Well, and a lot of times people don't think about tobacco can be your gateway addiction. Once that addiction hits in, it's pretty easy to become addicted to something else, especially opioid pain prescriptions. You know, that's something that it can take one misuse, and now you have that addiction as well.
But also the thing that you have been able to do is you definitely got your smoke-free fair again this year.
We do, absolutely.
Now, how many years has that been now that you're going to have a smoke-free fair?
This is going to be year five.
Year five.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still getting any backlash or very little?
Very little. Most people are very good about it. The people that we've caught smoking, we just go up and ask them, you know, if they would kindly put out the cigarette because it's a smoke-free fair. And they've been very positive with feedback. A lot of times people just are understanding that it's not just in the barns or, you know, at a certain arena. It's everywhere that it's smoke-free.
You know, and to me, especially in the barn area, you would think that they would think about that a little bit more because those structures out there are not exactly the most strong structures in the world.
So, right. Well, with all the hay and straw around. Yeah exactly.
And some of the construction of those buildings, I'm like, it wouldn't take a whole lot for that stuff just to go sky high real quick. So what other type of smoke-free things do you think would be good out at the fair? Is there any part that they're missing out there, or is there anything else you want to try and get done out there?
Yeah, we would eventually like to have all events and the fairgrounds in general to be smoke-free. You know, currently we have the fair that's smoke-free. Any events that we have held out there are smoke-free. But otherwise, they can have smoking at the fairgrounds. So long-term, we would just like to make all events at the fairgrounds smoke-free. Especially with the new grandstands that are coming, you know, just to keep it nice and clean and just have that all smoke-free.
How realistic is it, and what is it going to take on your guys' part to get that done?
I think it's pretty realistic. I think the Fair Council is doing a great job at bringing in more events to the fairgrounds, and so that's going to help to have more events there. And so then as we look at it, it'll just take, you know, an act of the Fair Council to make that official.
So is that your next big project out there, or what? You know, what's going to be your next?
It probably is. Yep, we've been working with the Fair Council on a lot of different things, from the 5K to the fairgrounds and that sort of thing. So I think that's what's coming up.
Has there ever been a study done to how much people who smoke, how much effect it has on their animals?
They have done that, and second- and third-hand smoke affect their animals as well. We've actually had a couple people come to our office and ask that question. Especially dogs are affected by that. Cats are, but not as much as the dogs. But dogs can actually get cancer from second-hand smoke.
How come we really haven't heard much about that?
I think that's just something that's new coming out. We just saw that report about 6 months ago, so that's something that's fairly new to people, and I think that's touched some people that, you know, they really care about their pets, and that's their, you know, their lives too. That's their kids.
Yeah.
So
sometimes people care more about their pets than they do about their kids.
They do, yes.
let's be honest about it, because sometimes they do. Anybody's got questions for Kathy, 659-333-8-1-800-447-4463. I take it you guys are still going to do the Narcan. You got another grant for that, right?
We do. We just got another grant, and that's in partnership with the Clinton County Health Department. And so we can do that training for any lay person. And also we're trying to get all of the EMS workers covered with that as well.
Now, for people, I'm one who has taken the training. If the kit that you got, the Narcan that you got, if it expires, are you guys going to notify us? How are we going to notify? You know, how are we going to know if it's really maybe expired or whatever?
Yeah. So if there's any expiration or recall, we collect your name and contact information when you come to the training. So anyone can come to any of those trainings, and it takes about 45 minutes for that training. We take your name and contact information, which is confidential, but the reason we keep that is to notify you if there's ever an expiration on your Narcan kit or a recall on that, and we get you a new kit from that.
Okay. Is it marked on the Narcan? When it expired? I didn't look because I didn't.
Yep,
look.
It is on the back of the foil pack that
okay.
It will say.
I didn't even look at it. That's my fault. I didn't look at it. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break right now. Our sponsors are Jennifer Payne Shelter Insurance, Kramer Lumber Do It Center, Welty Custom Exteriors, and Compass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Ivy Tech Community College, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, and we'll be right back.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible.
Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Hi, I'm Angie from Kramer Lumber. Thinking of remodeling your kitchen? If so, then Craftmade and Kramer have something important for you to consider. Your kitchen isn't just where you cook, eat, and clean. It's the hub of your home. It's your real living room. We at Kramer Lumber can show you how to use Craftmade cabinetry to remodel your kitchen for just the ways you live. Craftmade kitchens for the real living room.
Kramer Lumber, we're the friendly one. We are Kramer Lumber.
One place it makes no sense to shortcut or put off is putting a quality roof over your head. That's what Welty has been doing since 1937.
Hi, Ryan Welty here. You can count on us to take care of you with honest advice, excellent materials, and quality construction backed up with our Welty promise. Remember, above all, a good roof.
Don't forget about Welty's 50-year metal roof, too. Serving Central Indiana from 1-800-466-7231.
Hi folks, this is Steve Christopher from Hearing Care Professionals in Frankfort. Have you heard about the Starkey Halo made for iPhones? Stream your hearing aid directly to your phone for better hearing in noisy environments. Call me at 659-4327 for a free demo. That's 659-HEAR. I'd love to help you hear better.
Hearing Care Pro.
Our Encompass mobile banking app allows you to check balances, view transaction history, transfer funds, and pay loans on the go. You can even apply for a loan via our mobile app, too. Our app is very easy to download and install, and if you run into any problems, we're here to help. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. We're an equal housing lender, federally insured by NCUA, online at EncompassCU.org.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
And welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Jennifer Ping, Shelter Insurance, Kramer Lumber DeWitt Center, Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Ivy Tech Community College, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our in-studio guest is Kathy Martin of Healthy Communities of Clinton County Coalition. Kathy, I guess the one thing I kind of want to touch on, I'm going to venture out a little bit here. We get varying numbers on the addiction crisis, mm-hmm. from opioids to, painkillers to whatever. Some people say we have a crisis. Some people say it's not as bad here as it is elsewhere, and the stats sometimes don't bear it out. The arrests are a little bit up and down. What is your guys' take on all this?
Well, I think everything you just said is true. So when it comes to Indiana State Department of Health, Clinton County is not in a crisis. We are actually just below the line of what they classify as a crisis, which is good and bad. But that means we can't get as much funding when we look at a crisis state, but also that we are right on the line of a crisis. So we are actually 1.5 points below where they classify us under a crisis. And what happens is a lot of time people group into opioids. So heroin is technically an opioid, and so are prescription painkillers like Vicodin and our, the codeines and all of those. Those are all under opioids. So the stats can sometimes vary because they'll sometimes separate heroin out from opioid painkillers and vice versa, where other times it's all grouped together so the numbers look higher. Here in Clinton County, it is a problem. It's been a problem for a little while now. And so we're just, again, bringing awareness to that this is an issue that we need to address.
Well, how do you get people to take it seriously, though, when the stats are as they are, and people are saying, some are saying, some of the specialty authorities are saying, well, it is a crisis. Some are saying it is. Some are saying it isn't. How do you get people to take it seriously?
Yeah, I think the first thing that we've been doing is working with the prescribers. So we have done a partnership with QSource, which has come in. They are from the Centers of Medicaid and Medicare, and they have been contracted through them, and they've gone into our prescribers and started talking to them about prescribing opioids, making sure you check inspect, which is how they can see how many opioid pain prescriptions a person has received, and also making sure that the person receiving the prescription is getting proper information, that this is an opioid prescription, that there are other options, that this is helpful to you as long as you take it in the proper manner. And so that's been step one, starting at the bottom of the pyramid to get that information out to the public just so we understand it better. A lot of times people don't realize that this is something you can become addicted to, and it's too late by the time it already happened.
Do you think that there should be a law put in place, and I don't know that maybe there is one that I'm not aware of, that doctors should be held accountable for overprescribing some of this stuff?
You know, that's a fine line to walk on to. I think if they are checking inspect, that's something that's very important to do, because for some people who are in that addiction, they'll hop from doctor to doctor. I think as long as they are doing the things that they are called to do, checking inspect, making sure they don't give out too many pills at a time, you know, there's some accountability that needs to be there for those prescribers. And there are some people that really do need an opioid pain prescription that take them properly. There is a good use for them too.
I think, I don't know if I heard it from you guys or heard it from Laura exactly, but isn't there a proposal, or it actually is going on, where there's a list? We'll say I'm going in and I'm the one that everybody thinks has the addiction problem. If I've been taking, say, four or five things I'm going for something else that it's prescribed, I don't get it. Is that list out there, and is that going on as we speak?
Yes, so that is actually part of the inspect list, that they can look that up and see that. And there's a referral type of system to get into pain management and that sort of thing to look at this. Do you really need five of these, or is there something else that we need to be doing for you as a patient?
How big a thing do you think pain management is? And it's something, here again, this is something else we don't hear all that much about. Mm-hmm. And how do you start talking about something that you don't hear a lot about?
Yep, and that's, again, the issue. It's a lot of a public awareness thing, that we have to get this information out there for people. And then it's also a fine line. We don't want to scare people away either, because there are patients that need this opioid pain prescription, that is what helps them, and that's what that can help them stay healthy, you know, mm-hmm. quote unquote. So we have to make sure that people understand it's okay if you take it properly, but there's a time and a place, and that we can't misuse those. You can't take your buddy's pain prescription because you hurt your back. You know, you can't crush them up or take three or four because you're in a lot of pain. You know, we got to get that education out to our students, to our youth, but also out into the community at large.
I know there used to be, and I'm assuming it's still going on, you know, you see these parties especially for younger kids or college kids, having these pill parties. They just take any medications they can find, just throw them in a big bowl and start having a party and put little booze with it. Is that still going on?
We actually heard that about a month ago from a kid, that he said, you know, here in Clinton County, you might have that occasionally. He said, but usually it's a little different. You know, here you get some booze out there and that sort of thing. But he changed schools to a different county. He went to a Tippecanoe County school, and he said, it's different there. You go in and there's pills on the table, and you just take a handful and you take them, and that's just their party. And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing that we're dealing with.
Are we still talking about the ones who are primary? Are we talking about kids who are still in middle school, high school, or going into college now?
It was a high school student that told us that. He was actually a sophomore. So it's getting younger. We've been working on a program in our schools called This Is Not About Drugs, and it is a DARE program that is specific to opioids. So it's the just say no, but more to the opioid epidemic. And we did this program with sophomores, and sophomores had already heard about it. They've already had this. They've seen it. We did it with seventh graders just a couple weeks ago over at Clinton Prairie, and this was new information to them. So it seems like it's the freshman type year, eighth grade, ninth grade, that's when it's starting to hit them. And, you know, in seventh grade, we kind of caught them before they saw a lot of this, which is a positive thing to have that.
You know, and also when we talk about cigarettes and smoking and all this kind of, we really haven't even brought this up, but usually we need to talk about e-cigarettes as well, and that's another problem that's not good at all.
Yep, we've actually been tying that in with a lot of our programs, especially the juuling. You know, these e-cigarettes sometimes look like a bracelet. They look like a little flash drive that you can put into your computer. They look like a pen, you know, and a lot of times teachers and parents don't know that that's what it is, and it just looks like somebody's fixing their bracelet or chewing on a pen, and they're actually getting a hit from an e-cigarette.
And the other problem is that they put them in so many nice flavors.
They do.
You know, bubble gum and Tutti Frutti and mango and all that. So, I mean, It's easy for a kid to get, you know, oh, that looks pretty. I think I'm going to go. Hopefully they know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah, and, it tastes like candy. It looks like something that's going to, be good for them. It says that there's zero nicotine, but these e-cigarettes are still not FDA monitored. So that means 8 out of 10 of e-cigarettes that say they're nicotine-free actually contain nicotine. And that's how they're getting these, youth addicted to this. So when it comes to August of this year, they're going to start being monitored. But right now, they don't have to list ingredients. There's formaldehyde in a lot of these. There's cat litter. There's all kinds of stuff and chemicals in them that they don't have to tell you.
Cat litter?
Cat litter, to get the right weight and ratio.
I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah.
I can't. I just can't go there. One thing I did want to bring up, I didn't know if you guys were involved in this or not, is that we just had recently a foodborne illness situation that the health department was dealing with. Did you guys help them out in that at all? Or?
Nope, we didn't help them out with that one. We partner a lot with the health department on different things, but that one was all them. So,
have you guys thought about maybe going into that kind of situation? No, maybe doing a program or two about those kind of situations?
Yeah, maybe in the preventative health side of things, just making sure as, open houses and graduations are happening, making sure you don't keep those refrigerated foods out too long, that can be something that can cause harm to people, and not out of anything that you're trying to do, but just being aware of those situations.
I know Laura brought this up the last time she was in here, and I know we wanted to talk about this. Your community gardens project, that's something that you guys really want to focus on probably this summer, right?
Yes. So it's been planted. We worked with Travis Sheets over the Parks Department. He helped us out quite a bit of where we needed to plant it, how far apart. And so it's been out at the Boys and Girls Club. And then we are going to wait about another week and then plant some more. So that way, when it starts producing, we have a long time that this garden's going to be producing for people.
Now, is it just going to be here in town this year? And maybe, because I think the long-term plan is to get it out of each of the area communities as well.
Yeah. So the long-term plan is to have a couple here in town and then also in all the other communities. I know that Mulberry has done one on their own. There's a church there that has started their garden for their food pantry. And then we have just done this big one out of the Boys and Girls Club this year to get it going, to get information to people.
Now, if people want to help you with this, how's the best way for them to go do that?
Yep. So we have a lot of different ways to volunteer. One big one is to take a week during the summer so you can go out and make sure the garden has been watered, weed that garden. We have service organizations that are signing up for that. You can sign up as an individual to do that. And during that week, we just ask that you come out at least once, but you can come more than once if you want, and check on the garden, weed it, and then just report back.
How soon do you expect to see some, fruits? I say fruits of the labor, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yep. It'll probably be 3 to 4 weeks at this point that we'll start getting the beginning of that.
Okay. Gonna be vegetables only, though, for right now, I take it.
Correct. So we have done some fruit trees. Travis has done some fruit trees out at the parks. But this year, we have just done vegetables at the garden, and then we are also working on some herbs as well.
Any thoughts about doing, fruits, or are you just going to stick with vegetables? Or
yep, long term, we definitely want to add that in as well. So that's probably in the, 2 to 3, 4 year plan. But vegetables right now is something that we can get immediately out to people.
How did all this come about?
There's a food crisis that comes about. We have mobile food pantries that we do once a month. And through that, we've just seen that a lot of people, one, need some food. They need that help. But two, they don't know how to use these, fresh vegetables. They aren't sure how to cook them, what to do with them. It also happened because through the WIC program, you can get farmers market checks. And the redemption rate on those farmers market checks were not good. It was something like 5% was redemption. And the feedback that Stacy was getting at the WIC office is that people don't know what to do with them. They don't know what to do with a fresh carrot. They don't know what to do with lettuce or, tomatoes. How do I cook them? What can I do with them? So this is a long-term project of getting recipes out to people, letting people know what they can do with these fresh fruits and vegetables to make a healthier choice. And then also be able to redeem those type things.
Okay. I know you just got over a major project with the mental health thing this weekend. What's the next big project for you guys coming up?
So we have a few small projects between here and there. We'll do some car seat clinics, especially one in September. We'll have that. We have a few more walk to school days and school events. But our next big event will probably be our community baby shower, and that's going to be in October. That's for anyone who is currently pregnant or who has had a baby in the last 3 months. It's open to the community, no income requirements. We just bring everybody in. Everyone gets some gifts and games, and we just enjoy the evening.
You're going to keep it at St. Matthew?
Yep, that is the plan. It's going to be at St. Matthew, and it'll be a couple hours probably in the afternoon.
So, I mean, that's something. I was out there last year. It was kind of a fun event, and just, you know.
Yep, we
kind of let it, you know, just kind of let everybody get used to it, you know, get some information and that type of thing. And, you know, anytime you can give it, you know, go to these events where they can get some information, it's got to help people.
Yep, absolutely. We tried to do some educational breakout sessions. We've done things such as safe sleep, breastfeeding, car seat safety, but we also play games. We provide lunch. We have cupcakes. We have prizes. And then everyone leaves with at least one big gift from the day.
Okay. How's the best way for people to get a hold of you guys if they're interested in any of the programs that you got?
You can just give us a call at the office, 659-6063, or you can email Laura at any time. Her email is outreach@healthyclintoncounty.org.
All right. Anything else you want to add before I turn you loose?
Well, we just thank you guys, and thank you to all of our sponsors for the 5K and the Buck Up Foundation for doing that with us.
Okay. Kathy Martin from Healthy Communities Clinton County Coalition. Thanks much. I greatly appreciate it. All right. Take care. That'll do it for today's show. Our sponsors have been Jennifer Ping Shelter Insurance, We're Your Shield, We're Your Shelter, Kramer Lumber Do It Center, Welty Custom Exteriors, Welty Works For You, and Compass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, call today for delivery today. Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Hear Well, Live Well. Ivy Tech Community College, We're Changing Lives. Along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. Everybody, have a great day. Take good care of yourselves. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.